Loads and loads of responses from you. What I found interesting and revealing is that very early on in the interview, the texts from some of you were negative and even abusive. Are you going to go back to eating each other? Shouted Christine. Here we go, said George. How long can these so-called experts milk decolonisation for? Your guest is a racist loony, observed Judith. But those who actually listened to the interview sent more nuanced responses. Thankfully, quite a lot of stop blaming everything on colonisation and using it as an excuse for crime. And this from an ex-probation officer. Prisons do work. Few offenders commit crime while in prison, unlike when they're on community-based orders which have high offending rates. Most offenders reduce their drug and alcohol use significantly while in prison. I could go on. What prisons don't do is stop people from offending when they come out. Should we expect prison to do this? All institutions, says another, dehumanise. It's well understood and described phenomenon from Foucault to Kafka. Why this insistence on a Maori worldview? Why not just a human one? Your guest, says another, talks nothing but sense, but the people who really need to be convinced will immediately switch off at decolonisation. Why can't we just argue on the basis that what we do now doesn't work without loading the discourse with racially charged terminology? The system isn't working for Pākehā either. It is a lot worse for Māori. Peter says, what needs to be fixed to address the gross overrepresentation of Māori in our prisons is the gross overrepresentation of Māori among the poor. Let's start talking about equitable distribution of wealth in New Zealand. And another, Gail, says the current system works better for people who may afford expensive defence lawyers. Therefore, is it not time to level this and find something that works for the rest of us, Māori people and others, who are clearly disadvantaged before they even start? Another, if I can just bring it up, because as the texts come in, the ones I identify to read fall off the page. Finally, in my 72nd year, I hear that there is a justice system coming into place that addresses Māori offenders in a manner that incorporates culture, humanity and aroha. Not only our level of crime in this country, but the state of the world with climate change, destruction of the planet, is a good indicator that largely straight white men should have moved over a long time ago and allowed all of us the benefit of indigenous knowledge and practice. Blind Freddie can see that prisons increase, not decrease, the crime rate. Yes, aroha nui to Kingi and to all Māori who've suffered generations of marginalisation and abuse from our Pākehā arrogance and ignorance. Lots of interest, shall we say, in Professor Andy Gosler. The guy you're interviewing, says somebody or other, has totally missed the point of the selfish gene. Are you sure he's read that book? Richard Dawkins is a biologist. His brilliant books completely changed our views of evolution. The guy you're interviewing seems to be making out that Richard Dawkins was being derogatory to Christians. Rubbish. It was Christians misinterpreting his books. Go read his books again, please. Or I can thoroughly recommend Richard Dawkins' autobiography. Now, I'm sure you can. But have you read The God Delusion? You're saying he wasn't criticising Christians or being derogatory to them. Have you read his books? Loads and loads of emails in response to that first interview we did with Kevin Briggs. Let me read you what I think is probably a representative sample of them. Prisons are just the third leg of violence towards colonised people, says Jonathan. First, forcefully take the land and resources. Second, impose the colonisers' rules and customs on the indigenous population through the new laws of the land. And third, enforce the colonisers' new laws through the police and the prisons. We need fundamental changes, not band-aids. Jay says, I heard your first guest this morning. I'm constantly puzzled as to why European Kiwis seem unable to understand how they and their children might feel if their parents were kicked out of their homes and land and left with nothing. Somebody says, with respect, asking what is a Maori world view is a lazy and unenviable way, some Pākehā yourself, and by default, what you think your audience wants you to ask, give themselves permission to be ignorant. Don't be ignorant. With respect, you don't often come across as ignorant in interviews. Why save it for Te Ao Māori? And with respect, I don't think I save it. I think I'm constantly asking ignorant questions. Otherwise, what would an interview convey in terms of explaining anything? Somebody out there is always going to know the answer. Doesn't necessarily mean it's an ignorant question, does it? Listening to Kingi Snellgar describe the Māori justice system of taking offenders onto the marae, it struck me that the difference and the power of this is that the offender is claimed and taken in by society, the marae, in contrast to the Pākehā justice approach, which is to disown the offender and cast them out of society. To a young Māori with a dysfunctional background, the experience of being claimed, of being taken in, must be extraordinary and potentially transformative. I hope that Kingi is able to help Pākehā systems make the changes so badly needed. And in the same light, from Maureen, Kingi Snellgar speaks, for many of us who've been advocating for this for years, don't lock people up. Money and resources could be much better spent in rehab into a society where family connection, learning, restored health, well-being are the main factors to preventing recidivism. However, Snellgar drops the ball when it comes to this inbuilt belief that people of Māori descent contend that they should be given more rights and benefits and advantages than the rest of us who have chosen to make New Zealand home and those whose families arrived generations ago. We all have cultures, beliefs and whakapapa. So to be fair, non-judgmental and inclusive, why not adopt a manaakitanga for all? And Martin says, I believe that of the entire prison population, a very high number of those have gang affiliations. I fear that as long as gangs have major influence among Māori prisoners, then opportunities for rehabilitation, be it via increased taha Māori or continuing with the failing status quo, will be limited and ineffectual. Gangs and widespread drug culture are the greatest threat to Māori renaissance. And Julia says, the gold standard for medical practice is evidence-based protocol for treatments. It appears that there has been and still is currently no role for evidence-based protocol in our justice system. This needs to change for the benefit of all New Zealanders. Kim Workman's book, Towards Justice, ought to be mandatory reading for all. Somebody else says, yes, Richard Dawkins has indeed attacked the Christians. Tell the Christians to harden up and defend their beliefs. At least Dawkins hasn't burnt anyone at the stake for blasphemy yet. And no, Martin says, it's scary to think that there is a movie, somebody making a movie about the Golden Gate Bridge and those who jump from it. Yes, well, Kevin Briggs voiced exactly that concern. And in the light of Kevin Briggs' interview, somebody says, as parents, the project of listening to our children starts early. For parents of very young children, those we called preschoolers, that includes time with them and not just on weekends and when we're getting them ready to go to childcare in the morning and during those tired hours after they are picked up. Having time with our very young children means being willing to change our lifestyles so that while we look after ourselves and our well-being as adults, we do not hand our children over to others for all of their waking hours. This is not an easy choice, but we need to spend time with very young children, and it pays dividends for us as parents and for those children as they navigate the risks and opportunities in their lives.